I will be reading 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity.
Thank you, Tristan. You know, we appreciate our young men in this congregation who are willing to serve and love God, and we're just so thankful and grateful unto them and for the families that brought these children into the world. We thank you all for being here today. Senior Sunday is always an exciting time. It's a time for us to express our appreciation to our graduates who will be walking across stage shortly or have done that already. And so to the class of 2026, we say congratulations and we celebrate with you all. I know this sounds a little bit strange, but there are some things of which we ought to graduate, but some things we should never really experience graduation. Don't graduate. You know, that's always a milestone when a person reaches the point that he graduates from high school, but many of you can well remember when you graduated from kindergarten. How many of you remember when you graduated from kindergarten? How many of you can even remember that far back? Anyway, there are some that graduated from kindergarten. They graduated from elementary. They graduated from junior high. You know, they just graduated from a lot of things like high school and even college itself. And this is a time of year when graduated notices come in the mail. Graduation parties are being hosted by different individuals. Pictures start flooding the social media, and graduates start to move on with their lives to bigger and better things. And we certainly want to continue to pray for all of our young people here. But what I mean by don't graduate is the fact that the root of the definition of the word graduate is the concept of completing something or finishing something. You know, when you talk about commencement exercise, that's not talking about a new beginning, but it's talking about the ending of a thing. And you walk away from the stage. And graduates, while you have finished some things and while you are walking away from certain things, please understand that there are some things that you must never finish and you must never walk away from if we're going to honor our God who is in heaven. And I would first of all tell you that we must never ever graduate from truth. You know, our quest for knowledge is a wonderful thing. And AI, we hear a lot about that today. And who knows what's on the horizon for AI? Who knows what's on the horizon for these graduates that are taking that step to graduate from high school and maybe go on to college? But I would urge you not to graduate from truth. Truth is absolute. And Christ said in John 8:32, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ said it this way in John 17:17, to sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. And even King Solomon, many, many years ago, one of the wisest men who ever lived, and yet failed in the end. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and understanding and instruction. Proverbs 23:23. But what is truth anyway? You know, truth seems to change a lot with a lot of people. We have a lot of people that have their own facts. Someone said, don't confuse me with the facts. Well, that's what truth actually is. And it doesn't have to be in the form of a question mark. You and I are blessed to be able to have the truth. God has given his truth unto us. Did you know that Jesus is called the faithful and the true? The faithful and the true. Truth is a a wonderful, wonderful thing. Without it, we're lost. But with it, you and I have the opportunity to obey it. It's not enough just to know the truth. Jesus said, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word as well. We must obey the word of God. In the 6th chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 46, Christ said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In other words, you're not obeying truth. But truth is an important thing. For they being ignorant, Paul mentions in the book of Romans 10 and verse 3, he says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness. Now, we have a lot of people today that talk about righteousness, and they talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk. They say that righteousness is a lot of things. It can be whatever you want it to be. I don't subscribe to that. Christ blessed it, and he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You and I are to be blessed because we hunger for righteousness. But there's so few righteous people in our world. Did you know that 29 places in the Bible, Satan and the demons told the truth? Now, the reason I say that is, you know, Satan changed the truth a little bit, but he kind of fashioned it in a way where it brought about his own concept instead of what God actually says. And that's amazing because he's still doing it today. He's changing truth into lies. He takes the word of God and he twists it. And he fashions it into being whatever he wants it to be. Some people say that truth is ever changing. Not so. Real truth, folks, let me tell you this, is absolute. You don't change truth. Two and two will always be four. Christ and the church will always be true. That is truth. But some people say, well, we just need to turn the page on truth. And we need to get away from what truth is today. No, truth cannot be amended. Someone said, hurt me with the truth, but never comfort me with a lie. Some people will find their own truth. But there is only one objective truth given to us by God that will set us free and put us on the right track that will lead to heaven above, John 8:32, and that's the word of God. That's truth. So don't graduate from truth. Sometimes people move from truth to that which is false, but we must never be guilty of doing that. There's another thing that we would hope that our seniors will never, ever do. And by the way, I'm always privileged to be able to speak to our graduating seniors. This is my 55th time here at Crockett Road, believe it or not, to speak to the graduating seniors at Crockett Road. And there have been hundreds of them through those years. We're so blessed to have some wonderful young people and young people that didn't graduate from the Word of God and young people that did not graduate from their faith. Sometimes people look at faith and they say it's a myth. It's not true, but I can tell you it is true. Our faith is that which brings about the salvation when we become obedient to it. For in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then just about five verses over, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that would come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You cannot please God without faith. That's what the Word of God actually teaches. Listen to what he says. It is so true. We must believe that God exists and that he rewards who, that is, that are earnestly seeking and diligently seeking him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You are going to be challenged in this life. You are going to have a number of things in this world that could shake your faith. Sometimes things happen and we start blaming God. Sometimes things happen and we start thinking, oh God, why did you do this to me when it wasn't God at all? God takes a lot of blame that is not His. But death and disease and heartache and problems and trouble come from Satan himself. But we should not worry about the challenges. We should understand that God is going to be there for us, and the evidence backs up your faith and is the foundation of it and its indestructibleness. It will always be there. Faith is not denial of a fact. I've heard people even confuse it as such and say, well, you know, you can have faith if you want to. My faith is in the world. Some people say, my God wouldn't do what your God will do. My God will not allow death and disease. He will not allow automobile accidents. He will not allow premature death. Let me tell you something about premature death. Death is never premature. Job was right when he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He is the one who controls the moment that we die. He is the one who controls our breath of life when we come into this world. But thirdly, don't graduate from the church. You know, one of the big mistakes young people make when they leave home is they forget the church. They forget the body of Christ, the institution for which our Lord and Savior died on a cross. And so when we talk about how much we love God, do you love the church? He loved it enough to give His life for it. Are you willing to love it enough to live it and live for it? Sometimes we spend more time worrying about how we're going to die when we ought to be concerned about how we're going to live. How are you going to live? You know what? Our young people today in this audience are making a lot of plans, no doubt, about what they're going to do when they graduate from high school and when they get on their own. What are they going to do? Do you know, I'm convinced that God is the one who makes our plans. And if our plans do not correspond with what God's plans are, we are destined to be defeated. For the book, the Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse 1, the scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Don't graduate from the church. You know, some of the greatest memories that I have are about this church. I mean, in all the years that I've been here, some of the greatest memories. Audrey and I will sit and talk about it sometimes. And we look back and you say, you remember so-and-so when they were going to church here at Crockett Road? Oh, yeah, I remember. But I must admit that in that 55 years, over 1,500 funerals, you know, the morticians give you those little obits. And I started looking through those one day, and I thought, my goodness, who was that? Audrey couldn't remember. I couldn't remember. I didn't have any idea who they were. But isn't that the way it is with life? We're here today, and we're gone tomorrow. And Tristan was right when he read that passage, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the church, to the believers. And that must come first in our life. For that's what the book of Matthew 6:33 is really all about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things, the necessities of life, shall be added unto you. How important is it when you graduate and you go off to the university for you to go to church? It is extremely important. There you will connect with the right kind of folk. There you will connect. I'm not saying all of them are Christians. I'm not saying all of them live the kind of life that they live, but I should live. But I'm telling you that there you have people who have grown up in the kingdom of God. They know the word. And yes, church attendance should be just as important to you when you go off to the university as it is right now. Some people may even be fellow Christians, who they are sometimes, and are trying to convince you that the church is optional. That you don't have to worry about the church anymore. I'm concerned about the church. If Jesus died for it, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to live for it. Don't believe them for a minute. When they tell you the church is not important to you anymore, that you're on your own, that's why it ought to be important to you. You need the church, and the church needs you. That's why in the book of Hebrews 10 and verse 24, the Bible says that we are to motivate one another unto love and good works. Don't let the world motivate you, but let the church motivate you. You stay connected to the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. When Christians start mingling with the world, and that's the ones that they spend their time with, you are making a serious, serious mistake. You are. Because most of the time when you spend time with them, it is not to convert them to the truth of God's Word, but we allow them to corrupt us as God's children and let us consider. One translation says that we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. And that brings me to number four. Don't graduate from godly living. And there again, I understand the feelings that young people have when they leave home. They think, I'm on my own, I can do what I want to do now. But Solomon said, a man is a fool to forsake his mother and his father's teaching. That, my friend, is true. And it's something to think about. Don't graduate from godly living. The Word of God teaches that we must do what God wants, not what we want. But the world is saying to us, just live any way you want to. You know, one of the most popular statements among people today is, well, I don't need to get permission, I can get forgiveness. That's a foolish statement, you know what? It is a foolish statement because you are deliberately sinning and you want to find out what happens to the deliberate sinner? Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and read verse 24 through 26. I'll leave that one for you to do today. The truth is that the best life on this earth is being faithful in your walk with Christ. Listen, Solomon said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now I want you to notice this. The blessings come in Christ. And let's just say, for instance, God chooses to bless us today, and those that decided they weren't going to come to worship today did not receive a blessing. Who do you blame? Where do you lay the blame? Like a guy asked me one time, he said, Do you ever wonder whether or not if people that don't come back on Sunday night and they have an opportunity to hear the gospel and Jesus' word taught, where he tells us what we must do to go to heaven, and you don't show up to hear it, would you be held accountable for what you didn't hear? I'll give you the answer to that. Absolutely. What about the disciples saying to Jesus, "Lord, you know, we'll meet you at a breakfast in the morning"? Or, and by the way, he fixed breakfast. Had a great breakfast yesterday morning. But I'm not going to meet you any other time. That's the attitude that is exhibited, whether you say it or not. That's why he writes in the 25th verse of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. When he said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And last of all, don't graduate from Jesus. Don't graduate from Jesus. I hope there never ever comes a time in your life where you walk away from Christ. You know, the Bible says that the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and wanted to know how to enter into heaven, and Christ told him, and you know what he did? He walked away. That's why when I'm preaching the Word of God and I tell you what God says to do, and you don't do it, you've heard it, and you're still amenable and accountable to God for it. Don't graduate from Jesus. But in John chapter 6, the Bible says when Christ was preaching and teaching the Word about His own physical demise upon the cross, the Bible says from that moment on, many of them walked away from Jesus. Don't ever walk away from Christ. You might think that you can't see Him, so He must not be real. But He is more than real, folks. He is your advocate, the Bible says, in the day of judgment. And your only hope, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. And you need Him more right now than you need anything else in your life. Don't graduate from heaven. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing that we're going to be able to be in the presence of the Lord one of these days, and our life will be history. God has already treasured up our life thus far. And before us in that day of judgment, we shall answer for what we have done. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "For we must give an account of the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad." Don't miss heaven. Don't miss it. It'll be the greatest loss. Let me tell you something. The greatest test that you'll ever take is not the star test. It's not. It's not getting your driver's license. You take a test, all right. The greatest test you will ever face is whether or not you're faithful to God. That is the bottom line. And I hope not only our graduates, but by way of reminder, I hope that all of us in this audience today will be reconciled to God if you've walked away from Him. And if you kind of graduated from your loyal commitment unto the Lord, I hope you'll reclaim it today and acknowledge your need to do so. And if you're not a Christian, I would hope that you would make that commitment of faith and by faith obey the Lord in baptism. And then being raised to walk in newness of life and to live faithful unto Him, to know that someday there'll be no big question mark on our obituary. We know where we're going. We know how to get there. And we shall. And we shall. Let us stand and let us sing.